Art, Chunked in Las Vegas. Still listening to the show, still reading the page every day, still loving it. I think it's sad and ridiculous that longtime pillars are refusing to speak with you anymore because of disagreements. I mean, I don't agree with 25% of the stuff you say, but I still read your page. I still want to play poker with you. I still want to appreciate God's flowers with you. So it's just too bad that these people are dividing this up into such a black and white issue, and you have to be on one side or the other. Come on, people. We're liberals. We're supposed to be comfortable with shades of gray and ambiguity. Get over it. Love you, Bart.
Well, John, thanks for that. And yes, it is puzzling to me also why somebody will take something that I said or wrote and just go nutso with it. You know, if things were reversed, let's say I was reading Daily Cause, and let's say Daily Cause wrote Clinton was an idiot and a monkey and he wasn't that good a president. Now, he would never say that, but let's say for a second that he did. I wouldn't write to him and insult him and scream a bunch of stupid names at him. I would say, dude, can you explain yourself? Clinton fixed the economy. He brought the deficits down. He never sent a man into battle who didn't come home. He tripled the stock market. How in the world can you say that he was a bad president? Please explain yourself. I'm looking forward to hearing your explanation. But see, people don't do that with me. They scream, you commie bastard, you're Bush's twin, you're Bush's clone, you're Bush's handmaiden. And they just go off on a tear. You know, like I said, their mother was a prostitute. I don't understand people. That fellow you talk about, the pillar, it was funny in his email. He said something like, I once looked forward to meeting you, something like that. And I thought, well, that's strange that we are talking about a major substantial pillar who did a 180 because my support for the bloodthirsty, whatever. It seems like a lot of times people let their emotions take hold of their common sense, and one should always be thinking with their brain and their heart. But, you know, if there's a fight between the two, sometimes you got to let the brain win.
Danny Detroit calling, and I'm looking at your new pink tutu Democrat picture. And it looks like our good Senator Levin on the right side there. You might want to check his voting record before you alienate whoever you got looking at you from Michigan, because he sure the fuck don't belong on there. Of course, he did vote for the war, but who didn't? So yeah, that looks like Carl Levin, best senator the Michigan's ever had. And he sure don't belong up there with them three fucking monkeys, so I won't be reading your site till he comes off there, and you can bet all of us in Michigan will be called a boycott, but get his head off there and put, fuck, you got seven meatheads to choose from on the compromise committee, so do your research, Bubba.
As a matter of fact, doing my research is what made Levin's picture go up on the pink tutu graphic. I don't know if you're familiar with George Galloway, but he's the member of parliament that came over here and set Norm Coleman straight about the war. He's the guy that said everything I said about the war came out to be true, and everything you said about the war turned out to be false. And now I'm here to rub it in your nose. And Carl Levin told him to knock it off and be quiet, and he and Norm Coleman struck his remarks from the record because we wouldn't want the record to reflect that anybody disagreed with Godley W., the bravest war hero America's ever known. And I know you say you're not going to read anymore because I put one thing on the goddamn 1,600 pages and you found one thing you didn't like, so it's time to boycott old Bart. Trust me, I'm used to it. I know you'll be back, but, you know, on my end, if I took a drink every time someone turned on me for something that I said one time, I would never be sober enough to do a page or a show.
Okay, Bart, I want to start out by telling you I'm a very big fan. My husband and I have been reading your website for years.
Ah, geez, you can tell what's coming whenever they start out nice. That means there's trouble brewing.
But I just read your transcript today of your little debate with Koresh, and I'm sorry to tell you, but he won. You lost, Bart.
A clear majority agree with you. But it's funny, out of the probably less than 100 emails I got, not one person said, I support the troops, but you lost. Everybody who wrote and said you lost has a problem with the troops, and so that's obvious. If you think the troops are bad people, then you're right. My position is bad, and there's nothing that could justify my position if the troops are bad.
Because you didn't tell them the reason. You never did tell them the reason.
Well, I might disagree with you on that. One of the benefits of having a transcript is one can go back and see exactly what words were used. And I think if you check that transcript again, you'll see that I answered his question a couple of times. But when I saw the pattern develop, I realized the road was a dead end, because that road led to the conclusion that there's no difference between our soldiers and the 9/11 hijackers. And since I knew that's where we were going, there was no point in going down that road any farther. But that's another loss for Bart.
Why didn't you just say, because I feel like I'm an American and I need to support the troops unconditionally? You didn't give him a reason, so he won.
I understand what you're saying, but I can't agree with you.
And I have to take exception with you calling people doves over this. I don't consider myself to be a dove, because I don't think I can support the troops in the way you think I should. I support the troops in the utmost way. I want them to come home.
Why do you think I don't want the troops to come home? What led you to that conclusion? That would be an interesting answer to hear.
And they never should have been there. And everybody with a thinking brain knows that this is another Vietnam in the making. This war is not going to be won, and it's going to be 10 years of people just being killed for nothing.
More confusion on my part. You seem to be saying that I support this war. Why would you say that? I don't support this war. I don't support it even 1%. I think my position on that has been very, very, very clear. But somehow people are hearing, go Bush. I love you, Bush. I love this war. I don't care how many thousands die. Go Bush. I love this war. How are people hearing this from me? I don't understand.
And so why should I support that? I support them being brought home and demanding they be brought home and never to be used unless it's a justified war, as in World War II. And you were trying to do World War II with this war, and you were doing apples and oranges, because there is no comparison. We invaded a sovereign nation it wasn't attacking anybody. That wasn't the same in World War II, and you were trying to make an argument.
Actually, I was trying to fight fire with fire, or maybe more appropriately, I was trying to fight insanity with insanity. But when I saw that me and him were on this merry-go-round that was not going to stop, I could have answered, let's say, 50 of his questions, and then he would have said, so what you're saying is, and then he would have given me 50 absurd sentences back, and then I would have gone to sentence 51, and then eventually I'd have gone to sentence 101, and I just don't go there. Life's too short. I don't have time to get on a merry-go-round with some guy named Koresh for hours and hours and hours. If you didn't like my World War II analogy, well, I understand that. But again, you seem to think that I'm pro-war. You're explaining to me the fact that we weren't attacked. Why would you explain to Bartkop of Bartkop.com that this war is not a good one and we shouldn't be over there?
And when he called you on it, your response was, because you did a juvenile response.
Objection to the characterization, juvenile. What I did was, I refused to play his game. Every time he said, so why do you support the troops? Oh, because I'm a patriotic guy. Oh, so the patriots in Iraq should be murdering our boys. I mean, that's every word that came out of my mouth. He would turn around and turn it into an Al-Qaeda recruiting tool, and I refused to go there. I think I should be applauded for refusing to go there. As far as my answer being juvenile, I gave him one that he couldn't twist. I said I support the troops because I just do, and there was no way he could twist that into an Al-Qaeda recruiting tool.
I'm married to a Vietnam veteran. I know what he goes through because he killed people because he was told to, and he's messed up by it. And don't call people doves because they disagree with this. You don't support it blindly when things like this are going to happen to these men. Every one of those men that are over there are going to come back damaged. They've been exposed to this depleted uranium all over the place, everything they touch. And they are going to have nowhere to go, and all of us will be supporting them with our tax dollars. And my husband, he has nightmares because of those women and children he had to blow up because he was told to. And it was for no reason. They should not have gone. And I support the fact, I support them in coming home. And only to be used when it's justified and true. And so they're there now. So I'm sorry, I still can't support what they're doing. I support them as people and as citizens of my country. And I want them home, safely. I don't want this to drag on for another 10 years, like Vietnam, and have all these messed up people. And don't call me a dove. Frankly, I'm getting pissed off at what I'm reading on your website. And I have an 18-year-old son, and there's no fucking way I'm letting him go over there. Under no circumstances, I will get him out of this country. And he can object and he can refuse, because it's not right. When you take somebody's life, you better goddamn know what you're doing it for. And not because they're an American and some asshole sent him over there. No. You got to have a reason. And Bart, I love you, but you know, get your head out of your ass and get with it. Because this is wrong. And I'm getting a little pissed off at it. Now stop it.
I can tell your rage is real. I just can't figure out how it got pointed at me. Remember how this conversation started? You said I lost that debate. And if you look at the transcript, Koresh's position was that there's no difference between the 9/11 hijackers and the American soldiers. And you said he won that debate. That's goddamn confusing to me. And I think maybe you're just a little wrapped up in this, and maybe you're not quite thinking as clearly as you might, because how in the world could you be married to a soldier and side with the guy that says that our soldiers and their soldiers are the same, that the 9/11 hijackers and our soldiers are the same? That's the whole reason that you got angry with me and said I lost the debate, is because I wouldn't answer his soldiers are soldiers question. I refused to say that. I stood up for the soldiers, and for some reason, as the minutes went by, you got angrier and angrier that I wanted the men to die in the sand in Iraq. And I don't know what it is you're reading on my page. The people that I'm calling doves are the people who will not fight no matter what. The people that say the soldiers are a bunch of bloodthirsty cowards who steroid-laden saps that went over there to murder for Bush. That's not my position on this. My position is that these soldiers are being misused by an illegal son of a bitch. And I think we agree on that. Koresh says the 9/11 hijackers and our soldiers are the same. That's what he tried to get me to say, and I refused. And you said he won the debate. That's confusing to me.
This is Matt from Northwest Iowa, leaving you messages in different sources. Hopefully I got your resonance there. I didn't know you moved to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
There are four people in the Tulsa area that share my slave name. And I'm always keeping one eye on the newspapers. If one of those people should go out and get into his car one day and the car blow up, that will be unlucky for them and lucky for me.
Hey, Bart, this is Michael in Connecticut. And, man, I just got done watching Clinton on the Letterman show. Where's the outrage? Where's the passion? Where's the emotion?
I agree. I was disappointed by Clinton's appearance on Letterman. I wish I had an explanation for you. All I can suggest is that maybe he's still a bit fatigued by his surgery.
Seems like the sum total of Clinton's message was rally around the flag and support our man Bush. You know, I remember the days when we had a two-party system. Him sitting there looking Letterman in the face and pretending not to know about the Downing Street memo? Who does he think he's kidding? Everyone in the audience was stunned. You could see it. But Letterman was just taken aback. Clinton said he couldn't comment about it, but that was after he said he didn't know about it. I mean, come on.
Yes, that was very puzzling. I have no idea what happened there, but one possibility is that Clinton knows the memo by a different name, but that's just a guess. How could he not know about that? I mean, Clinton knows everything about everything, and for that to be not on his radar is quite unexplainable.
And he says that it's not important how we got into the war. What's important is that we're there, but that's not right. What's important is how we got there through incompetence and idiocy and greed. Well, that's what's important.
I think that's a two-pronged question, but yes, I agree with you. I think what Clinton meant was once we've fallen into the hole, really all we can do is concentrate on getting out. But the other half of that question is, if your attitude is, well, it doesn't matter how we got here, that gives Bush carte blanche to go into Iran and then Syria. And then once we're in Iran, he's going to expect everyone to say, well, it doesn't matter how we got here. So then he can go into Pakistan. And, well, it doesn't matter how we got here. So he can go into Lebanon. Well, it doesn't matter how we got here. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Clinton spoke poorly on that.
So the answer to now what is now we throw the incompetent assholes out and get someone in there who's fit to lead, who has a brain, who won't sell the country up the river for oil and money. Oh, God, I'm so pissed. Keep hammering.
I think we can both agree that was not Clinton's finest moment on the stage. He seemed a little bewildered and a little too conciliatory to the crazed monkey.
The latest body count on your site, you're not wanting to do it anymore? If not, I can understand why, but it was the only official way that I can get the total numbers of the total dead over there, thanks to Bushko and his little cruddy regime. But I just calling to ask what the heck is up, you know? You haven't posted anything since in over a week about the amount of soldiers that have died over there. Well, anyway, Bart, you have a good one. Bye.
I think what I'll do is I'll put the link back up to that page, but I no longer feel comfortable listing the number of dead with the anti-troop sentiments that have bubbled to the surface lately. I don't want it to seem like we're celebrating the number of dead. If the majority of Barcop readers see the troops as evil people who are getting what's coming to them, I don't want that number to be celebrated. Yeah, I think I'll just put that link up there, and if somebody wants to click on it and see what Bush's policies have done, to see what the costs are currently to Bush's bloody war, yeah, they can click on that, but I just don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to be the anti-troop political page.
What do you want when you gotta eat something? It's gotta be sweet and it's gotta be a lot, and you gotta have it now. What do you want?
Lip, smack, and whip, back and patty, whack, and ink, and knack, and bill, crack, and scowl, whack, and cracker jack, and boo, cracker jack. Candy coated popcorn, peanuts, and a fries. That's what you get in cracker jack.
Hey, Bart, I was just wondering if Homeland Security shut you down tonight. I know you've got some pretty interesting things on the website there. I need my crack, man.
can't get through the night without my pipe, Bart. You got to get the fight back up. Just can't make it anymore. Come on, I need you. I'm in this red state, hellhole, Kentucky, Bart. You got to come through for me. Get the fight back up. I need my fix, man.
That call came in on Sunday night. Mark Perkel was doing a very slight upgrade, modification, something. And yes, Paige was down a little bit. But hey, Mark Perkel has a higher batting average than Yahoo, has a higher batting average than Google, I think has a higher batting average than anybody. If you want somebody to host your webpage, you talk to Mark Perkel. If you're tired of getting a bunch of spam, you definitely need to go with Mark Perkel because he will spam-free your mailbox. Write to him at Mark, that's M-A-R-C, at Perkel.com, P-E-R-K-E-L. So it's M-A-R-C at P-E-R-K-E-L.com, and he will fix you up.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I'm enjoying that nut, Mounds don't. I'm enjoying got real milk chocolate, yeah. Coconut and munchy nuts too. Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewy coconut. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Get a ball.
Here's one, Democrats Don't Put the Muzzle on Dean by Dwayne Wickham, USA Today. Oh, I think this might get violent. Instead of muzzling Howard Dean, Democrats should give him a bullhorn. Yes. Rather than urging him to retreat from his attack on Republicans, party leaders ought to send him off to a political war college, preferably the one that the late GOP strategist Lee Atwater attended. Yes. As chairman of the Democratic Party, which is teetering between political renewal and functional extinction, Dean should be making war, not peace. But that's exactly what his critics within the party seemed to be suggesting last week when they admonished him for his tough talk about Republicans. The Republicans are not very friendly to different kinds of people, Dean said. They're a pretty monolithic party. They all behave the same. They all look the same, he said days earlier. He also said the GOP is pretty much a white Christian party, and Republicans never made an honest living in their lives. No, Dwayne, you have it wrong, like John Stewart had it wrong, like most people had it wrong. What he said is many Republicans, not all of them, and that makes a difference. Understandably, Dean's verbal barrage drew a return salvo from Republicans who accused him of hitting below the belt. Surprisingly, not to Bart, it also sparked friendly fire from some Democrats who worried aloud that he was unnecessarily alienating Republicans. Well, that is bullshit. When Dick Cheney says maybe Dean's mother loves him, but I've never met anyone who likes him, nobody says, stop it, Mr. Cheney, you're going to alienate a bunch of Democrats. Nobody ever, ever, ever says that. When the Republicans say that John Kerry was a dirty, lying-ass war hero liar who stole his medals and put his own shrapnel on his ass, nobody says, knock that off because you're going to piss off a bunch of middle roaders. Nobody ever, ever, ever says that. But if a Democrat raises his voice, oh, stop, stop, you're going to hurt everyone, you're going to kill it, oh my God. So we end up losing again and again and again. If we're going to lose the next race, why don't we lose fighting? Why don't we try? Laying down and bending over hasn't worked so far. Didn't work in 2000, didn't work in 2002, didn't work in 2004. All they called us was a bunch of Osama-loving sons of bitches. That's all we got out of surrendering. So why don't we try something else? Christ, you keep stepping in the same hole again and again and again and breaking your leg. I got an idea. What if we don't step in that same hole this time? Let's step in a different hole. We might break our leg too, but at least we're not breaking the same leg in the same hole the four times in a row. Hello? While in fact what he said about the GOP stretches the truth, maybe, it also rallies the Democratic troops, something the party has had difficulty doing since Clinton left the White House. Lesson from GOP is his little subtitle. Ironically, Dean's negative talk is something Atwater, who managed Bush's 88 campaign, turned into an art form. When the story broke that Willie Horton raped a white woman and assaulted her fiancé while on a weekend furlough from Massachusetts prison, Atwater went on the attack. He vowed to link Horton so closely to Bush's opponent, Dukakis, that people would think the career criminal was the Democrats' Motherfucker. If he could write better, I could speak better. Atwater went on the attack. He vowed to link Horton so closely to Dukakis that people would think Horton was Dukakis' running mate. Republican leaders, eager to extend their party's control of the White House beyond the 8 years of Reagan, didn't chastise Atwater for playing to racial fears and stereotypes, linking Horton to Dukakis. Instead, they made him party chairman. You see, when you speak out, when you fight back, they reward you as a Republican. If you speak out and fight back as a Democrat, your own people turn on you and say, how dare you impugn the integrity of our great godly W? Son of a bitch, how did I get in this party? Not long after he assumed that post, Atwater put his crosshairs on Bill Clinton, a Democrat he correctly feared might keep Bush from winning re-election. Atwater plotted to use allegations of drug abuse and womanizing to derail Clinton's career. We may or may not win, but we'll bust him up so bad he won't be able to run again for years, Atwater said, according to Lyons and Connison's Hunting of the President. Despite expressing his regret for those actions shortly before he died in 1991, Atwater's go-for-the-jugular brand of politics has become a lethal weapon in the Republicans' arsenal. It is what motivates GOP operatives to quickly label Democrats as liberals and to treat liberalism as a dirty word. To his credit, Dean has broken ranks with those Democrats who think the best defense is to seek cover and then throw themselves on the mercy of the voters on Election Day. That is true. That is true, true, true. The list of bean-eating Nancy Boy Democrats is too long to list. We can't even list them all. There's not enough room on the internet to list all of them. And it pisses me off. That's what our party wants to do. Surrender, bend over, and beg for forgiveness on Election Day. No wonder I wouldn't vote for our side. The time has come for Democrats to fight back. They should explain what it means to be a liberal, not allow Republicans to define them. They should answer hyperbolic attacks with exaggerated speech of their own, if that's what it takes to stave off political annihilation. Gee, do we know anyone who can get a little hyperbole in their attacks? No, I don't guess there's anyone like that on our side. For much of this decade, right-wing Republicans have dominated the public square, shouting down some on their political left, and drowning out others who have tried to counter their bombast with civil responses. That's the Democrats. That is the Democrats. If a Republican comes up to you with a giant meat hook and sticks you in the back and lifts you off the ground, the Democrat says, excuse me, but that's not polite. The time has come for Democrats to give as good as they get. That's a really stupid phrase. You know what's a better phrase? If they pull out a knife, we pull out a gun. If they put one of ours in the hospital, we put two of theirs in the morgue. This give as good as you get. What is that shit? No, what we do is whatever they give to us, we more than double and send it back. If you don't know, if you hadn't paid attention, if you hadn't noticed, that's what we do on Barkov.com. Someone attacks me, I generally take out the big hammer and I just smash them as hard as I can. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I believe most people know they've been in a fight when they attack me. Now, there's people, you have a difference of opinion, fine. If you write in and say, jeepers, Bart, you seem to have said this. Am I reading you wrong? Now I'll give you a civil, logical answer. But if you start with this, oh, Bart, you're so pro-torture, I can't stand you no more. I was going to subscribe, but now I ain't. You start giving me that, yeah, I'm likely to pummel you. Because I'm a fighter. Don't abandon me because I'm fighting. Don't distance yourself from me because I'm not willing to lay down. Not everyone that writes to me and starts off with, hey, asshole, is going to get a civil response. If you don't want a fighter, go over to JoeBiden.com. Send him your money if he's doing a great job. Americans, for the most part, love politicians who fight for what they believe. No, not the Democrats. The Democrats love to lay down and surrender. And they abhor political wimps. That's why we can't win. Because Democrat is synonymous with wimp. It just is. And since Clinton left the White House, everybody's forgotten how to... If there's one thing you remember out of the 96 and 92 campaigns that Clinton ran, it's that if the Republicans make a charge at 1 o'clock, by 1:30, we've returned fire with a lot more facts and a lot more truth and a lot more specifics than the evil lying sons of bitches that hurled the first attack. But Gore couldn't remember that. Kerry couldn't remember that. Max Cleland couldn't remember that. Nobody can remember that. Everybody forgot how to answer a charge. What's wrong with people? You can go to your damn Blockbuster and rent The War Room, made in 92, that shows Carville and Judas Maximus strategizing on how to return these bullshit charges that the BFEE throws at you. But they can't learn. They're not capable. They're so afraid of offending somebody. They're so afraid of taking a stand. So afraid to throw a return punch. Because they're Democrats. Dean is a fighter, albeit one who needs to learn that in an ideological spat, a well-placed jab often can do more damage than a barrage of roundhouse punches. But he can't learn that lesson if Democrats won't let him take the fight to the GOP. That is a fact, Jack. Dean is the head of the DNC, and they won't let him do anything. If he opens his mouth, they say, shut up! Don't you dare say anything about Godly W. How dare you? You don't speak for me. How dare you? Is all Dean can get out of his own party. How did we get here? How did we lose all of our will to fight? And I know they're going to say it was 9-11, but hey, I remember 9-10 too. They all laid down. Gore decided instead of fighting for justice, instead of fighting for the majority who elected him, he thought, oh, I don't want to raise a ruckus. It'd be better for America if we surrendered. And that's been the template ever since. It would be better for America if we surrendered and backed Bush. How long are we going to take that shit? Bow down before.